This morning for our reading, we'll first turn to God's Word as it's summarized and confessed in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32. We come to the part in the Catechism where on the third part, our thankfulness, and for that very reason, it fits in with what we'll be looking at this morning and in giving thanks and praising the Lord this weekend. And so Lord's Day 32 is what we'll look at in connection with our text, which will be a prayer of David's from 1 Chronicles 29. So the question in Lord's Day 32 is to recap what the gospel really is, that we are saved by grace alone. And then raise the question, well, then why must we live a new life? Why must we do good works? And their answer comes in the form of what Christ continues to work in us. So let's read. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace alone through Christ, without any merit of our own, why must we yet do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit to be his image, so that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for his benefits, and he may be praised by us. Further, that we ourselves may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and that by our godly walk of life we may win our neighbors for Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent walk of life? By no means. Scripture says that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, greedy person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like shall inherit the kingdom of God. So far, reading of the confessions in preparation for our text. Let's continue to then sing from Psalm 100, and we'll sing stanzas 3 and 4. Let's now this morning turn to the Old Testament, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We'll read the first 22 verses. But the focus this morning will be on the words of David's prayer that we find in verse 10 through 20, or 19. So as you may know, King David was not allowed to build the temple, wasn't allowed to build a house for the Lord, but the Lord promised that he would build a house for David and that his son would be allowed to, but it didn't prevent David from preparing for the building of the temple. And so he makes plans in 28, and he starts to gather the resources necessary in 29. But he doesn't do that on his own. He encourages the people of Israel to give thanks and to donate to the building of the temple. And then after that, he gives a prayer for that. So let's read God's word in 1 Chronicles 29. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx and the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work of the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. People rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. And this in your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the hearts and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. The next day, they made sacrifices to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to him, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs, together with their drink offerings and other offerings in abundance for all Israel. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, something we may all appreciate with days like Thanksgiving, you know, isn't just the long weekend and the extra day off. It may not even just be that you get together with family, maybe have some traditions and customs to uphold. But it may just be that it's also a time to Reflect. Be thoughtful. It's likely that many of us realize that truly giving thanks doesn't come naturally. It takes a bit of effort and requires us to be thoughtful. And to help us this morning to do just that, to get beyond any kind of superficial thanksgiving, we'll listen to that prayer, that praise of David. Because as he turns to the Lord, he presents us with these just grand, majestic, but also just vital, important truths about God and about his gifts, that we may give him thanks. Now, this is not just something that David was called to do, but that it is something for all of us who have that new life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may truly be thoughtful and thankful. And so our theme this morning is, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's the theme of David's prayer, but you may also think of it, if you know, taking notes as, yes, thankful and thoughtful, as that'll be one of the refrains throughout the sermon this morning. Now, I know we just kind of jump in to the ending of First Chronicles this morning, and it does fit today, as it is a prayer of thanksgiving. There was this great celebration as the people of God, as they prepared to build the temple in Jerusalem. And we read the context as David is very generous and he's building and gathering all of these resources that he needs. All of his wealth he basically gives to the building of the temple. As I mentioned, he isn't allowed to do it, so he leaves it all for Solomon to fulfill. And he wants really to pave the way that Solomon would have no excuse and no difficulty building what he had so desired to build for the Lord. But David doesn't do it on his own. He gathers and he rallies the troops in Israel to also give and contribute to the building of the temple. And there's this wonderful response. It mentions how all of the leaders, all of the different officials, they too start to give of their own wealth that the temple may be built. And it's just all round this beautiful and wonderful great thanksgiving as the people of God give and give so that the temple of God may be built. And it mentions how they're doing this cheerfully and they have great joy and they have this feast at the end that all of it may be done to the glory of God. But we also know that people can give to things for various reasons. And so it's important to listen to David's prayer to understand that not just their generosity, but the reason for their giving and the reason for their joy in doing so. And David starts by emphatically, but very simply also giving God all the glory. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Perhaps you heard that this morning and you recognize it's a bit of that echo of how we often end our prayers. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Echoes very much those final words of the Lord's Prayer. David starts his prayer with, in a way that we often end it. It's this confidence. This in that the Lord is the one who is majestic and powerful and our Heavenly Father. And by starting this way, David makes it clear as to the goal, like the end goal of all of his giving and this temple project. It's not, you know, somehow to appease God. It's not somehow to buy him off or to earn his favor. He's just simply saying, Lord, to you belongs all of this. To you belongs this praise and the glory, and what I'm giving to you is just doing what is right, what you deserve to receive, regardless. As praise as the Almighty and the Creator of heaven and earth. And as he does this, it's not just a plain giving praise to God in word alone. He starts to give thoughtfully thanks, because he also immediately acknowledges that all of these things that he's given to the Lord is not, you know, giving from himself, but that he realizes has been given to him, to David, by God himself. That God is the giver of all the gifts that he uses in his worship. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. As David sees all of these supplies, like all of the money, all of the gold and silver coming together to build the temple, he confesses that what they're doing is simply returning to God what God had given to them. When David sees all that he had given, he did not imagine that this was some incredible sacrifice. But when he saw all the gold and silver that he was able to contribute, he just saw, first of all, the generosity of God himself. And that he now had found a good cause in giving thanks to God. Perhaps there is the first question for us this morning. Do we think in the same way? I know I occasionally mention what the collection is passed around in the worship service, that, yeah, we give to others and give to those in need as God has given to us, but we know it's all one thing to say it or to hear it, and another thing to really take it to heart. And we may have the privilege, the blessing that we live in a wealthy nation and a prosperous time. But perhaps that also just tempts us to then think like, oh, I will give out of the overflow of what I have. So that's how many in the world around us think. What my hands have earned, what I have made, yes, I can give from that. Or is what we are able to give, is that all a reason to consider, first of all, the generosity of our God, the fact that we live here, that we have means to share, that is a gift of a generous God first and foremost. And that without him, none of that would have been possible. And from considering God and who he is, David continues to think as he gives thanks. And as he gives glory to God, he then also starts to reflect on himself. It's not hard for us to imagine that if David were a less godly man at this point, and he saw all the wealth that was brought together for the building of the temple, you know, he would in his prayer maybe even start to enumerate just how generous he had been. Look, Lord, how we thank you. Look, Lord, how much we love you. That is not at all even pride that enters David's prayer. The exact opposite, this utmost humility. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. His praise to God comes from this confession of dependence. David realizes that he himself and all the people of Israel, they're lacking in themselves. They're insufficient in themselves. They can't do anything on their own. He says they need God. They need a provider. And he's like, who are we that you would give so generously to us? And it is a stark contrast. I mean, if we know a little bit about ancient Near Eastern culture, and we know from like archaeology and writings, it's that, well, A, whenever a civilization builds a temple, it's this huge deal. But often it's a huge deal also because the people have their myths and their legends that we get to now supply something that the gods couldn't supply themselves. In Babylonian temples, the temples had plots of land, lots of acres of farmland, so that the food and supplies for the gods may be grown there by the people he had appointed to. All of it just to say that in their theology, often the gods are needy. Yeah, they may bless you, but they're also needy. They need something of us. And they may point to the temple and say, look, they needed us to build it. Look, they need us to cultivate their fields. The gods are needy. But as David comes to build a temple to the Lord, there is none of that. Not even a hint. It's the exact opposite. God is the one who provides. Not just blessing in return for something that he needs, but he's everything. That the very building of the temple wouldn't happen if God himself hadn't first of all generously given. And David is deeply aware of it. And I contrast it with an ancient worldview, but that really things don't change. It's easy enough for any of us to slip into the thinking that God must be thankful that I serve him so well, for that I have given so generously. Where would God be if I wasn't so dedicated? If I didn't serve him so well or make such contributions to his kingdom? That somehow in the back of our minds, we still think that God may lack something that he needs from us, that therefore we may be comforted and have this flattering notion of ourselves that, look, I can give to God something that he needs. It's much more difficult and much more humbling to be like David and ask, who are we that you have given to us? But then also notice that as soon as David makes this confession, how he continues to think about it even deeper. He doesn't just confess that God is then the source of all that he needs and all that he's able to give, but it changes his relationship with, well, let me say, the whole world and all that he has. So did you notice that language that follows right on that? That language of being pilgrims, aliens, strangers. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for our holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. David still considers himself an alien or stranger. And it makes sense that he would think of that. You know, that's what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. They were strangers in the promised land. And they still had to hold to the promise that God would give it to them one day. But David was also deeply aware of what the Lord had taught Israel when he brought them to the promised land. That this is God's land. This is God's gift to them. They are simply stewards to take care of the land. That ultimately it continued to belong to the Lord. It was simply given to them for their use. See the other aspect of his thoughtful thanksgiving. He confesses that sense of stewardship. These are gifts given from God. Not to keep, but to manage as good stewards. The question wasn't first for David, what is mine and what belongs to the Lord? Because he's like, all of it belongs to the Lord. All of it, we are just aliens and strangers here. Even the harvest, just crops grown on the Lord's land. Whatever taxes David may have received, it was all from the God's people. And whatever else he received, he recognized it is just that which a steward receives to manage for the Lord. You see how consistent he is in believing that it all comes from God. But notice how else he is thoughtful. Because it also makes him turn to the temporariness of his existence. Our days on earth are like a shadow. And David becomes extremely humble again. We know, as you know, you read on in this chapter, passing away of David is mentioned. Solomon is going to take over. David knows that. He knows his life isn't eternal. He has to start passing things on. And maybe that's also at his age where he starts to realize, yes, Lord, our days are like a shadow. But David, therefore, also is in his humility, avoids this other common mistake is to think that somehow at this end of his life he has to accumulate or build up his treasure, that is how you win life. Or that he doesn't foresee the future, that he says, Lord, I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to then enjoy what you have given me. No, he just recognizes the temporariness, the fleetingness of life and says it's good. This recognition makes me a better steward. Well, maybe this morning that language of being aliens and strangers and our life but a shadow may not get us into the most cheerful mood. Maybe that's what we usually think of as Thanksgiving. We've got to be joyful and thankful and cheerful. There's great wisdom in what David says, doesn't it? David prays and he reflects on the whole experience of life. This is a wonderful period in the time of the people of the Lord as they are excited about building this temple. But David himself in his own life knew there were many ups and downs. He's gone through various seasons. And not every season of Thanksgiving is going to be the same for us. We may even realize that it is those years where we struggle maybe to give thanks, where we struggle to realize like what are the gifts that God has given us when there are other burdens, other worries that are on our hearts that maybe help us even more so reflect on the temporariness of life. And to do so, yeah, even in a cheerful way, or a way of giving thanks. Yes, David recognizes, I'm just an alien, I'm just a stranger here. But you know what that implies? That David also had a very good sense of that he belongs somewhere else. If he doesn't belong here, then where does he belong? If we can recognize we're only stewards and aliens and strangers here, then, well, where do we belong? And as David is nearing the end of his life, he is thoughtfully giving thanks. But he may pass things on, even as he will pass on to the place that he belongs. And lastly, that also seems to make David very much get to the heart of things, literally. So did you notice what his last petition is? I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. His last petition, his last mention in this prayer of praise and thanksgiving is just that God would give this loyal heart to his people. That they would be and remain wholeheartedly devoted. That his son Solomon would keep God's commandments. More than the generous donation, David sees in this people a love for God. He recognizes, Lord, that is your most gracious and most greatest gift. And he prays that that may remain forever. That this heart of thanksgiving and loyalty to God would abide and remain in his people forever. As this morning we got to read the Heidelberg Catechism and the Prayer of David side by side, what stands out isn't, you know, as we kind of started, it's the superficial look. It's about thanksgiving, both of them. But rather, there's something more. They come at it from different angles, but they impress upon us that thanksgiving and this new life in Jesus Christ are always just inseparable. They go together. The one flows out of the other. You know, David starts with thanksgiving and thoughtfully goes on layer by layer until he gets to that heart that is loyal and thankful to God as the source for all of this thanksgiving. And the Catechism casts our whole new life in Christ under that umbrella of gratitude or thanksgiving. And as it there goes to expound as to what that means, it'll talk about prayer and about keeping God's commandments to have a heart that is loyal to God. And it's because of those parallels that there are helpful reminders for us in David's prayer as we then also start to try to understand what it means as Christians to be thankful. And the thing that we have to realize above all else is that it's always God who gives and gives first. And as Christians, we may say it's always first of all in his son, Jesus Christ. As we seek to trace where does the new life come from, where does this new heart in me come from, it is always by the power of God through his Holy Spirit because of the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God has given us new life. He has given us forgiveness of sins. He has given us eternal life. He has given us the repentance we need. He gives us the Spirit that we may actually live this new life. All of it is a gift. Which then also should make the words of David resonate with us. Lord, who are we that you have given this to us? That we may now live for you. Who are we? That we must recognize that we are also lacking in our own. I always love the one illustration I've come across where pastor points out, look, gifts may tell you something about the giver, right? But sometimes also gifts tell you something about the receiver. And he used the example of that if everyone shows up to your birthday and gives you shampoo, that may tell you something. Or, you know, if they come with watches and other ways to track time, that may also tell you something about you. David realizes that God has given people, his people, land, rest, harvest, peace, and he is utterly humbled. Lord, why would you give such richness to us? And what does it mean for us this morning to confess that God gave us his son? His only beloved Son. What does it say about us? That Jesus Christ had to redeem us by His blood. What does that gift say about us and what we lack? What does it say about the giver and how gracious and generous He is? It's such an overwhelming gift. And it presses home to all of us the absolute helplessness of us outside of God's salvation. There's no other way for us to be saved but through that one sacrifice. And yet, God still saved us, even in our helplessness. That is our reason for giving thanks and for praising the immeasurable grace of our Father. And that we must realize in all humility that this isn't a gift that can be somehow returned or paid off. And it was never intended to be. But as we live this life of thanksgiving, it literally is that, a life of thanksgiving, not of obligation or duty to God. This is why it's called is our thankfulness, not our earning it back or making ourselves worthy of salvation. We could never pay it back. We could never. And even all those things that we do return to God, all the things that we do grant Him, they are all, first of all, a gift from Him to begin with. We continue to be dependent on God physically. Every day for daily bread, but spiritually it's no different. And yet there's the other thing that then we may learn from David, is that like the Israelites, thanksgiving teaches us to be good stewards and talents of the gifts that God has given us. And when all of these things are cast into that frame of thanksgiving, that's only the only way really to be good stewards. Whether we talk about their gifts that God has given us physically, but also spiritually, the talents, the time, the faith, the work of the Spirit within us, all of these things, if we recognize them as gifts, and not to make us proud, not to be used for our own kingdom, but rather all as good stewards for the time that God has given us to be put to good use. To be put to thanksgiving again and again, so that they may be returned to God. And now we must realize and learn from David that before this new life becomes a good steward checklist, like, yes, I prayed, yes, I seek to keep the commandments, David reminds us that it is about a heart that is loyal to God. The heart that is offered to God in thanksgiving and devotion and in loyalty. That really gets to the true meaning also of giving thanks. And that it is with such a heart that we then myth David may begin those prayers. Praise be to you alone. Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone, for from Him are all things and to Him are all things. And in this life and in this moment, through Him are all things. And that will then also teach us the joy and cheerfulness of giving thanks. Because that's our hope, isn't it? When we are helpless, or where we cannot accomplish, God accomplishes Himself in our salvation, but also in our new life. But as we seek to give thanks to God, and we often do so poorly or struggle to do so, even there, we may turn to God and say, look, supply what we need. Give me a heart that may be cheerful in giving thanks. Give me a heart that seeks to be a good steward. Give me a heart that is less attached to material things, that I may give you the glory. That I may give you the praise. To Him be the power and the glory and the kingdom forever. Amen. Let's then stand and sing the hymn, Come, O Fount of Every Blessing. We'll sing all three stanzas. This morning, once again, we have the opportunity to give to the Lord as He has given to us, to give to those who are in need, this morning for Manoah Manor. And then after that, we will sing from hymn 76, stanzas 1 and 2.